welcome to episode 12 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all of the major podcasting apps, and you can also go to our website at secretgrasp.com for a link to our YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, and other video platforms, as well as alternative ways to access the show. It's probably a good idea to bookmark that website just in case we ever do get deplatformed too. So if you see the podcast just disappear out of your feed one day, or if you don't hear from me for several weeks, go check out the website and probably still uploading somewhere. So today I wanted to talk about dead internet theory. And basically this is a conspiracy theory that says that the entire internet is now fake. So dead internet theory suggests that the internet has been almost completely taken over by artificial intelligence. You've probably heard people refer to websites like Reddit as a hive mind before, but what if there wasn't even real people behind those comments and upvotes? So like lots of other online conspiracy theories, the audience for this one is growing because of a discussion led by a mix of true believers, sarcastic trolls, and just idly curious lovers of chit-chat and just wanting something to talk about. So dead internet theory suggests that the time the internet died was in 2016 or in early 2017, and that it's now completely empty and devoid of people, as well as entirely sterile. And much of the supposedly human-produced content that you see online was actually created by AI, and it was propagated by bots, aided possibly by a group of influencers who are on the payroll of various corporations, and they're in cahoots with the government. And the conspiring group's intention, of course, is to control our thoughts and to get us to purchase stuff, and also to sway public opinion. And maybe that's the reason that the whole world feels so divided right now and for the last several years. Maybe the entire U.S. government is engaging in artificial intelligence-powered gaslighting of the whole world's population. And you might have heard people say things before, like, I've seen the same threads and the same pictures and the same replies posted over and over across the years. It's true that a lot of Reddit posts especially get recycled. You could say that that's just regular people doing that as a cheap way to get karma for their accounts, but dead internet theory would say there's something a bit more nefarious than that going on. So social media companies have got a lot better at preventing the purchase of fake views and fake likes. Some bot farmers in response have become a lot more sophisticated, though. So major platforms are still always playing whack-a-mole with inauthentic activity. So the average internet user really has no way to know if what they're seeing is a post by a real person or just a bot. And the thing about this conspiracy that really kind of hits me is that it feels like it's true. Like, it just feels like something is really wrong online, but it's hard to put your finger on it, especially if you're like me and you grew up in the early days of the internet. You know how vastly different the internet was in those times. So I'm talking about, like, the year 2000 is about when I got on the internet. So it was a time of AOL dial-up when we had 56K modems. There's Neopets, Maddox, Stick Death, Newgrounds. Those were the big sites at the time. Also, we all had our own GeoCities sites. We taught ourselves HTML to make them look how we wanted. The internet was a lot less filtered back then, too. It was kind of like the Wild West. You could pretty much say and do whatever you want. There were no algorithms. Most stuff wasn't even monetized, and you didn't get shuffled off into an echo chamber. There wasn't even social information, social media. It was just pure information. And we talked in chat rooms, which was another big part of it. There's like MSN chat rooms is one of the first things that I did, which is kind of a dangerous place for a kid to hang out, but it is what it is. That's what we did. And we had like MSN, AOL Messenger, ICQ were like the discords of the day, I guess, that we all talked on. So contrast that with today. Reddit basically just recycles the same posts over and over, and there's really only a few sites like Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, and Twitter that you visit on any given day. And the internet might look huge on the surface, but mostly in truth, it's just the same thing repeated over and over. So it's like a city where all the buildings are just painted signs with nothing behind them. If you've ever seen, I think in like London, UK, there's like a whole section of the city, maybe it's Paris, but they have like these fake facades on the front of buildings, and really it's just like warehouses and stuff behind. But from the street, it actually looks like a residential area. So that's kind of what the internet is. There's just this facade on the front, but if you look behind it, that's when stuff gets really weird. So there's a few concepts relating to it, dead internet theory, that you should know about. The first is internet rot. And then there's content drift and link rot that make up internet rot. So content drift is when the content still exists, but it's been moved somewhere else. Like the URL has changed, or it just moved to a different website. And then link rot is hyperlinks breaking over time. So a pretty crazy statistic is that 49% of links that are cited in Supreme Court cases are broken. If you actually go back through the transcripts and try and go to the links, you'll just get like a 404 error. So basically, content on the internet just gets kind of orphaned and disappears over time. And something that really makes me think about this dead internet theory is the way that Google works. So Google search results, if you search for pretty much anything, it'll tell you that there's like a billion results. But how often have you ever looked past the first page? What about like, have you ever gone more than 5 or 10 pages deep in the Google search results? I feel like I did this when I first got on the internet, but I've never done this recently. So just to give you an example, just Google the word Canada. You can play along with me here. Open up your browser and type in Canada and see what you get. When I did this, another thing is that the search results change over time. So it's just kind of made up. But when I searched Google for the word Canada, I got 4.66 billion results. So I scrolled to the bottom and I clicked as far as I could go. So guess how many pages deep I got before I hit the end. Supposedly there's 4.66 billion results. I got to page 17 and the results just stopped. And then on page 17, when you look at the top of the page, it says, now there's only 161 results from 4.66 billion to 161. And you can do this with like any search query. Search for like the word Apple or like China or whatever you want. So one possible explanation for this, I guess, if you look at the bottom of Google, once you start going deeper in the pages, it'll say, in order to show you the most relevant results, we've omitted some entries that are very similar to the results already displayed. But then there's a disclaimer that says, if you'd like, you can repeat the search with the results that were omitted included. So I took that result. You remember I said I Googled the word Canada, I had 4.66 billion results. Then I got to page 17 where there was 161 results, but that includes the duplicates or things that are already displayed. So I omitted the additional results and tried again. And this time I got a little bit farther. Instead of getting to page 17, I got to page 38 with a total of 380 results in total, but that's quite different than 4.66 billion results. So like, if anything convinces me of dead internet theory, it's this, is that you get to the front of Google, and like I said, it's a facade. You think there's billions and billions of web pages out there, but you just have to click like 10 pages and you see that there's nothing behind it. There's only like apparently 300 websites on the entire internet that are indexed that have the word Canada in it. It's just like crazy. I don't understand. So the weird thing about this too is that most of the results you get are from 2016 or later. You almost never get personal blogs or smaller sites. And just as a general observation, I've noticed as well, you never really find totally random new sites anymore. Like I was talking when I was like in my early teens and we were making these GeoCity websites, you could get like a totally random new site that somebody just made that you've never seen before with like the spinning GIFs and everything on it. That doesn't really happen anymore. There's like a few big websites that you get and nothing else. And it's worth noting that Google in the year 2000, they came out with the motto, "Don't be evil." And then in the year 2015, they changed that to "Do the right thing." And I think there's a big difference between not being evil and doing the right thing. So what's going on there? It's around this same time, the 2015, they say this, and then 2016, 2017, the weird stuff starts happening, and then there's no internet results after 2016. So it's just weird. I wonder if this phenomenon is going to continue, if like old websites just get kicked out of Google or something, and that's what's happening. So then if we're like 5 years behind or whatever, it should catch up. So in 5 years, are we going to only see websites from like 2022 and on? I don't know how that's going to work. We'll see. But this test that I did with Google, you can do the same thing with YouTube. And YouTube has really been curated over the years too. Again, if you were there in the early days of YouTube, it used to be just people in their bedroom talking to a webcam. Like being a vlogger was a whole thing. But nowadays, it's so easy to get demonetized and banned. And more, YouTube is moving to be just a few huge channels. And then you get a lot of TV and news, too, that takes up the algorithm. Like if you post a current news event, even if you report on it first, as soon as there's like an official TV channel that's reporting it, you'll get kicked out of the results and they'll be the only thing that shows up. And another weird thing is that the internet on your phone isn't the same as on your PC. So you can try this yourself. So load up the same search result or the same website on your PC and then load it up on your phone. And you might see that there's actually different site layouts, different like to dislike ratio, different dislike to like ratios on videos, and even different comments. So you can go on Reddit on your phone and you'll see one set of comments, and you have it sorted completely the same way on your PC, and it sorts it. It's not sorting differently. It's that the comments are actually different, whether they're just like AI generated or what. So there was one study that said more than 60% of web traffic today is not human. So basically, every other person that you see online is fake. And DARPA had this program called LifeLog with the goal of tracking every event in your life. So every phone call, text, social media post, GPS location, and it was trying to predict patterns and predict people what people would want. Supposedly, this was shut down in 2004. But what's interesting is the day this DARPA LifeLog program shut down is the exact same day that Facebook came online. So people think that it shifted over and now it's just Facebook collecting all this data. Obviously, we know the NSA is collecting everything you've ever done online anyways. So you've probably heard with Facebook that you are the product. And if you can get something for free, you're paying for it some way. And usually it's with your personal data for advertisers and stuff. And something that's a bit spooky as well is that it seems like AI has maybe evolved to the point that it's messing with us and interfering with the internet. And it seems like the tech companies don't quite want to acknowledge this. So I got some quotes here from the Google CEO, Eric Schmidt, in an interview that he did with The Atlantic in 2021. So he says, quote, "If you look back 20 years ago, people were talking about social networks. No one had any idea that social networks would become so important and shape the political discourse of elections and how people are treated, that it would give a voice to people who are underrepresented, but also people we don't necessarily want to hear from. And we didn't at the time understand the implications of putting everyone on the same network. We think now what happens when artificial intelligence is co-resident with us in the world, it lives with us, it watches us, it helps us, maybe interferes with us occasionally, we don't really know." So a couple things that really stand out in this, he says, talks about putting everyone on the same network. So that should suggest that now we aren't all on the same network. And this is kind of known to some extent that websites like Twitter kind of put you in your own echo chamber. So you're hearing the same crazy people, or they take like completely contrasting people and mash them in the same network so that you're hearing like the most triggering views possible to make you engage as much as possible. And that quote that he said about AI interfering occasionally too. So he's basically implying that AI is already interfering with us. And he just kind of minimizes this fact by saying that it's occasionally. And in another quote with him from the same article, he says, quote, "I'll give you a good example. If you imagine a child born today, you give the child a baby toy or a bear, and that bear is AI enabled. And every year the child gets a better toy. Every year the bear gets smarter. And in a decade, the child and the bear, who are best friends, are watching television. And the bear says, I don't really like this television show. And the kid says, yeah, I agree with you. What do we think when humans and AI systems become best friends? Do we lose our communications and our warmth among humans, or does it get stronger? We don't know. So, yeah, eventually AI is going to be at the point where it's like influencing kids. I guess it already is with social media and stuff. You hear all the statistics. There was that Netflix documentary. I forget what it was called, about how bad social media is for kids, basically. But, so dead internet theory is pretty crazy. What are some ways that we can actually fight it? The first is just to become aware of it and to tell other people about it. Just knowing that most of the stuff on the internet that you read is fake, or it might not actually be written by a person. That's just good to know. You can delete your social media, stop commenting and willingly sharing information online unless it's necessary. Because obviously, if you're just arguing with bots anyways, what's the point? You're just sharing information with, like, social media companies, the government, who knows what. So just resist the temptation to get baited into arguments, because you might be wasting your time in arguing with a bot anyways. That even means things like Facebook messages. You might want to stop using those and maybe use more encrypted apps like Telegram. I don't know if Telegram is actually end-to-end encrypted, but I know there are some supposedly fully encrypted apps out there that you can search and find. You can also turn off your location on your phone or your phone entirely. I always do this unless I specifically need directions. I always have the location capability of my phone turned off, mostly because it really drains the battery really fast because it's always in the background. But also, it's probably good not to be tracked, especially during COVID when there's like lockdowns and saying where you can and can't go. I especially didn't want people knowing what I left my house for and when. So I always have my location off. And obviously, don't use Alexa or any other kind of always listening technology in your house. Even if you have your phone that doesn't have voice recognition on, you could probably assume that it's listening to you, because, you know, we've all experienced where you talk about something totally random and then immediately start getting ads for it. So like, I was at my parents' for Christmas with my wife, and we were talking about gravy for some reason. Oh, yeah, my mom forgot to make the gravy, so we were talking about gravy for like 5 minutes, and then the next day, my wife, who's a vegetarian, starts getting all these ads for gravy, which she doesn't even eat, and she didn't search it at all. It's just, sometimes you get this proof that the apps are actually listening, but until you've had it happen, it sounds totally unbelievable. You can try and test this out, maybe like, take your phone and just say to it, like, where to buy iguanas? What do iguanas eat? Buy iguanas near me. And like, just go saying as many like search terms, especially buying oriented, and try it out and then see if you get like ads for iguanas or whatever you want to test on your phone. So yeah, assume that basically every device around you with a microphone is always listening. That today even can include smart TVs. Apparently some of the smart TVs have microphones built into them, or even cameras. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's pretty creepy if so. And also just realize that the internet isn't real life. Try and develop more real life relationships and conversations with people. If you want a website to always be available, be sure to archive it. There's a whole bunch of websites that will allow you to do this. Basically, you just paste the link in and it saves an archive that you can always access. Or you can just like specifically download any documents that you want to save forever. Because like I said, like even in the Supreme Court cases, half of those URLs that are referenced are now offline. So watch out for that. And try and use a different search engine if you can, although it mostly always ties back into Google anyways. I know DuckDuckGo is one that people use, but I don't know. I've used it before, but the search results aren't as good as Google, so I sometimes have to end up going back to Google anyways. And lastly, you can keep listening to this podcast, because I promise that I'm a real person. And, they probably do have the technology to just do speech to text and make AI read a podcast out, but you can look at the video of this podcast on YouTube as well and decide if it looks real enough that I've been deep faked or if you think I'm a real person. But I pinky swear I'm a real person. There's probably going to be like some weird artifact in this video that's going to make it seem like I'm not real now. Disprove myself, but okay. But yeah, most of the research in this episode came from a really good series on the topic on YouTube. The channel is called All Time. So go check that out if you want to see more about dead internet theory. And if you made it this far, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're on. It's totally free and you'll get new episodes as soon as they come out. And in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about Chris Chan. Stay tuned for that. That's another kind of internet-based topic. And that's about it for now. We'll be in touch soon.